We now have our passage reading. So we are going to have a review of the last three chapters, 4 through 7, on the Lamb who was slain, the focus on the Lamb. So today we're just going to read chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. Okay, 9 through 14. Again, that's chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. Let's go ahead and try to read responsively. We haven't done responsive reading in a while, so let's try some responsive reading. I'll read the first verse, and then the congregation will read the second verse. Okay, I'll begin. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. We'll now hear today's review message on the Lamb by Pastor Steve.
The Lamb who was slain. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that we could spend the past 6 weeks looking at a revelation of Jesus Christ to his church. There are so many things we learned, but today we want to turn our focus and attention to our Savior, our King, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain. Please come in your Holy Spirit and open the eyes of our heart. And see you. Apply these words to our life that we have spent so much time going over, that we may become more aware of your presence, more certain of who you are, and what you have called us to be and to do. Clothe me by your grace, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So the key verse I chose was 5:12. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." What a list. For the past 6 weeks, we have been looking into these first 7 chapters of a revelation of Jesus Christ, and we've been trying our best to read aloud the words of these prophecies in order to hear it and to take to heart what was written in it. So it's my task to look back over chapters 4 through 7 and focus on the person of the Lamb. Now we know this is the same Jesus, the glorious one who was described in chapter 1. Remember? The one dwelling among the lampstands. He was so glorious. But when we get to chapter 5, we're introduced to the Lamb who was slain. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So what new thing are we going to learn about this same Jesus by looking at the image of a slain lamb? What does it imply also, not only about Jesus, but about us as his people? And then what should we do in response to the Lamb who was slain in our day and in our time? Now, if I asked each person to share something, we'd all have learned something different, I believe. And we have received many things from God. But I want to share with you today three things. Not 30, but three. The worth, the wrath, and the work of God, the Lamb. So first, the worth of the Lamb. So let's look back to chapters 4 and 5, back to the throne scene, where John sees an eternal and glorious worship service proclaiming the holiness of the Creator God. Holy, 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 with an angel chorus. Now, the scene is beautiful beyond words. Literally, we're wondering what the words mean sometimes. But one thing that John sees causes him to weep. And it's that no one is found worthy to open the scroll that's in the right hand of him who sits on the throne. But John is then told, don't weep, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals. And when we hear this, we expect to see a mighty king like David, who triumphs over all God's enemies, all Israel's enemies, with military power and unites the kingdom. We expect to see him with mighty men. But when John turns and looks, what he sees is a lamb. A lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. The lamb who was slain becomes the dominant image in the whole book of Revelation, repeated 28 literal times and many, many more times implicitly. So, what does this imply? When Jesus says, I want to give you a revelation of me, and then he emphasizes throughout all the book, the Lamb who was slain. We don't have to guess. The four living creatures and the 24 elders around the throne, they declare in their new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And then we have the angelic chorus that follows. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Sorry, didn't mean to scare you. I'm just excited. Jesus is worthy. He is worthy because he is the Lamb who was slain. He gave his life as a ransom for many. The fact that Jesus, in his revelation, prefers to be referred to as a slain lamb instead of a lion or a conquering king tells me something. Jesus is not ashamed to be known as the one who died to save you and to save me. He is not ashamed to be known and worshiped as our Redeemer, as our Savior. He wants to be known as the Lamb who was slain for you and for me. We're all ashamed of our sins. In our pride, we often want to defend ourselves or maybe hide and cover up our failings or blame others. But Jesus was slain to redeem us and set us free from bondage to our sin. He purchased us for God. It is his one-sided grace, the Lamb who was slain. So, Jesus is not ashamed, and we should not be ashamed to confess our sins and receive the glorious one-sided grace of Jesus' forgiveness and his redemption for us today. Not only so, but the Lamb who was slain has great implications for our self-awareness, for our self-identity. Who are we if our Lord, our King, our God was the Lamb who was slain? Revelation 5:10 tells us, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." More than any other loyalty or identity or commitment, we are redeemed to be the kingdom and priests of the slain Lamb. That is our identity. That is our commitment. More than anything, I pray for my sons, 4 sons. I have many hopes and dreams for them. Maybe sometimes I want to push them, but there's one thing that's above everything: this identity, to know the saving grace of God and to live as His redeemed people. Relating to Jesus as the slain lamb is to remember His grace and that forgave all our sins. It becomes the source of strength for us to live as His servants here on the earth. In the 1970s, I don't know how to pronounce her name, she's Lithuanian, Nijolė Sadūnaitė, please correct me, she was sentenced in Soviet Lithuania to 3 years in prison for her faith in Christ. When she was called to testify at court, she stated, "There exists no greater joy than to suffer for truth and for one's fellow men. How could I not rejoice when God Almighty has promised that light will overcome darkness and truth will overcome error and lies?" 3 years, she suffered torture, starvation, and abuse in the Soviet camp. After she was freed, she met the Pope in Rome, and he asked her, "So how was it in jail?" And she replied, "It was romantic to be with her Lord." Her love for Jesus grew even in times of suffering and injustice because she kept her eye on the slain Lamb, full of thanksgiving for Jesus. "Because He is worthy," she was filled with joy. Are we filled with the wonder, the joy, and the thankfulness, the gratitude toward Jesus, the slain Lamb? Is He worthy of our worship today? Second, the wrath of the Lamb. Doesn't sound so intimidating. The wrath of the Lamb? Is it going to bomb me? We conclude chapter 5 stating that the Lamb is worthy. And He is worthy to receive not only a, "Oh yeah, thanks Jesus," but power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Wow, I'm going to say that a lot. So He's worthy of receiving all of that. So the question is, what does He do with His power and His strength? In chapter 6, we find the Lamb using His power and strength to open 6 of the 7 seals on the scroll from the right hand of God. After the first 4 seals, at the beckoning of one of each 4 living creatures, a rider appears, and each one represents something worse. They represent the systemic evils of a world ruled by sin and those who rule it. Political conquest and intrigue, murder, revolution, and war, economic injustice and famine, and last of all, but not least, death and Hades themselves personified. And then it says they were given power over 1/4 of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When we studied this, I looked it up. Do you know what the death rate? So this was a 25% death rate. You know what the death rate is today? It's 7%. Just think about that. But I want you to see something even more important than looking at these horsemen. The slain lamb is nothing like them. He did not come to conquer. He came to rescue us. He did not come to murder and kill and destroy, but to give life to the full. He did not come to starve us in a famine, but he came to be the bread of life. He did not come to bring death, but to give eternal life to all who believe in him. The Lamb is nothing like the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world. The Lamb is hated by the world of the four horsemen, and they hate Jesus' people in every generation. And we see the result of that hatred when the Lamb opens the fifth seal. All those who maintained a witness to Jesus, who followed Jesus by their lifestyle, their decisions, and their actions, were slain because of it. The martyrs crying out under the altar, and there have been so many of them through history. And they are crying out, "How long until you judge and avenge our blood?" They were crying out for judgment, for justice. But they are told, wait. When the sixth seal is opened, world-ending cataclysms occur. But the focus is on the people. The kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty. Basically all of those people who were not subject to any justice on the earth. And everyone else, both slave and free, now they must seek to hide and escape the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb will surely bring justice on the earth. We don't see any perfect justice on our earth today. Even in the U.S., studies have shown that we have two distinct criminal justice systems, one for wealthy people and the other for poor people and people of color. These complex systemic problems often result that those who have power and wealth escape justice and get away with oppression and thieving, while others who do not have power and wealth are crushed underneath. But we must know that this chapter, the Lamb is not indifferent to this kind of injustice. It says he has wrath, and a day of judgment is coming on the earth. Those who have not received the grace of forgiveness in Jesus, they will face the wrath of the Lamb. At that time, their wealth, their power, their position will not save them. For us, this means that rather than seeking to affirm vengeance on others or to demand my own rights, we trust in the wrath of the Lamb in the day of judgment on the earth. But as I've been reading the stories of many martyrs throughout this last week, I saw another side to this. The fact that the Lamb postpones his wrath and says to the martyrs, wait, it tells us that he is patient. He does not want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. It's very easy to find fault in others, to judge them and dismiss them. It is much harder to follow the example of the Lamb who is patient. How do I use my limited power and wealth? In love and service to God and my neighbor? In a small way, I see my sin and how I often become angry with even the small mistakes of my children. I guess I want them to be perfect, Or maybe I have some undergirding fear that they'll turn out wrong. But the fact is that none of us are perfect. A story I read was a young girl who was being beaten in the prison camps in Eastern Europe because of her faith in Christ. And she told God, "I can't do it anymore." And then the next time she came, and the Soviet officer took the whip to beat her again, suddenly she saw him differently. That he was also one day a child no different than her. That he also didn't want to be there beating her, just like she didn't want to be there being beaten by him. And so in a sense, they were both trapped in this horrible room of sin. And so she smiled at him. He couldn't believe that she smiled at him. "Why are you smiling at me?" And she said, "Because I know God didn't make you to be like that." And in the same sense, we are the same. He couldn't whip her anymore. May God help me to be patient as he was patient with me. This is the wrath of the Lamb. Third, the work of the Lamb. So we come to chapter 7. It's an interlude before the final seal is broken. John sees angels who are told that they have to hold back from harming land or sea or trees. Don't let anything harm it yet. Until the seal could be placed on the foreheads of the servants of God. So John hears, he does not see, 144,000 Israelites, 12,000 from each tribe, are sealed before any harm is carried out on the earth. So before anything can get started, angels got to seal these 144,000. But then when John looks, he sees a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, that kingdom of priests and holy nation. And later we learn that this multitude, they come out of the great tribulation. So the 144,000 is before the harm starts, and then you've got the multitude after it's all done. One group at the beginning, one at the end, and how did they escape? So what happened in between? So here's where my plug. Well, you'll just have to wait to the next installment of Revelation study, right? No, I'm not going to cop out like that. Remember how we saw that in the whole book of Revelation, the emphasis is on the Lamb. The Lamb. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," we may misunderstand that, well, Jesus is done with everything. Now he's in retirement. Sometimes that makes us feel like it's vacation for us too. Other people feel like, that means I got to do everything. Is Jesus in retirement? If we look at Revelation, we can see that that's not the case. Even the Gospels and Acts show that the risen Christ is still working. Even our own stories today, Jesus is alive and working. The Lamb is actively working out the will and purposes of God, seal by seal, step by step. And in fact, he is the only one worthy and able to do so. I will give you one hint. There's so much to look forward to that Jesus is going to do, and that we're going to get to do with Jesus. But to summarize simply in the voice of this multitude in verse 10, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The work of the Lamb is the work of salvation. So some things I thought as what this means to us. It means that we do not need to fear what is to come, since the Lamb is actively working even today to carry out the entirety of God's will and purpose, this scroll that he took from the right hand of God. He is the only one worthy and able to do so, so we can trust him. As we are living in the last days, in this in-between time, we need to learn how to trust in the Lamb. When I heard about the tornado that ripped through Chicago's north side, not very many blocks north of where I used to live, it got me a little bit afraid. Because this is the last days. What's going to happen? But through this study, I'm encouraged to trust all the more. The Lamb is working, and I can trust Him and His plan and what He's doing. No matter how upsetting things get, the injustices and violences we see in this world, Jesus said it's birth pains. I can trust God's purposes will prevail in the hands of the Lamb. Amen. But I can also see the Lamb is a shepherd. The Lamb needs a shepherd, but not the Lamb, capital L. The Lamb is a shepherd. 7:17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There are many things we face these days that cause stress, uncertainty, and fear. Some of us are unemployed or underemployed. We have reduced incomes. We're afraid of a pandemic for our loved ones, young and old. People are lonely, separated from family. If you're a parent, you're stressed about how is school going to work this coming year when they're all at home and we have to go to work. And need I mention, it's an election year. But the Lamb is still at work. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, the Lamb is at work, our shepherd. And He says to all of us, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. Lastly, I'm reminded of the privilege that Jesus invites us to participate in His work of salvation. He is the Good Shepherd, capital G, capital S, and He invites us to be good shepherds, little g, little s. He is the living stone, like these little rock things in the middle, and He invites us to be living stones, little l, little s. There are many around us whom Jesus wants to lead to the springs of living water. In our homes, in our workplaces, our communities. School started at UT last week. Lord's College starts tomorrow. Continued social distancing and the pandemic is causing strain on students of all ages, our children in our home, and also the ones across the street. How are we participating in the work of the Lamb, the work of salvation, in our context, in our story? So I'll simply remind you, today we thought about the worth of the Lamb, and the wrath of the Lamb, and the work of the Lamb. Each one reveals something new about Jesus, the Lamb, and what it means to follow Him. And in conclusion, I would add one more W. Let's worship the Lamb. Let's worship the Lamb because He is worthy. Can we read this together? Okay. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. So find all of those things in your heart and give it to Jesus. because he is worthy. Father, we thank you that we had the opportunity to go back and look at the revelation of Jesus and to think about how worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To know that he holds all justice in his hand because we know and can trust in the wrath of the Lamb who is patient with us. And that you are still working the work of the Lamb in our time. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.